Hey, welcome back everybody to Define Dream. Today we have a very special guest, Marco Le Costa. We're going to talk about his poetry journey, his book, and his future book that's on the way too. Also, we're going to touch upon a little bit of, the Pride collection that just came out. So if you haven't seen that, it's out there, defindtheshop.com. But today is a very long episode, so I'm not going to talk as much by myself. I'm going to let you guys listen to what Marco has to say. So thank you again for joining me, and I hope you guys enjoy everything that Marco has to say. Definitely somebody who I truly value as an artist, and it's actually really funny how I came across him. I came across him on Twitter one day, and I saw one of his poems, and I was like, wow. And then I realized he had a book, and I was like, I need to purchase this right away. So here's Marco Le Costa. Welcome, Marco Le Costa.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, this is a little interesting because I haven't done an episode of my podcast in quite some time. And it's, I think, a very much of an honor to have you as my first guest in quite some time. So thank you so much for joining me.
Ooh-wee, so we're going to have some fun today then.
Oh, definitely. So I'm definitely going to say this. I'm a big fan, like super big fan.
Thank you so much.
I literally have like a little like shelf of books that like I keep next to my bed. And definitely The Art of Feeling on top of that pile of books, honestly, because there's so many different poetry, I don't even know, pieces that mm-hmm. you have in there that I think I really connect to. And I think, I hope I say the title right. It's the Taylor something.
Oh,
the Taylor.
I know. The Perfect Taylor. Yeah.
The Perfect Taylor. Oh my God. That I think is probably my favorite. Definitely up there. Definitely.
It's so funny because it's such a short poem, but it took me a long time to kind of get, just because I was really trying to show the world of like somebody else helping build my confidence, but keeping it short and very simple. So that was an interesting poem to write.
Yeah, I definitely, for some reason, I just, when I read that one for the first time, I was like, wow, this is something that I can really relate to. And like you said, it's very short, but like it says a lot about how, like, no matter how small the piece is, it could be relatable in any sense of the way. So
right.
But give everybody a little bit of a, you know, synopsis of who you are. Give us a little intake.
For sure. So let's start with I am human.
Perfect.
Go ahead.
I was about to say, man, I would have been a little bit more interesting, I guess, having an like extraterrestrial person on my podcast.
Depends on the day, actually. My name is Marco. I am from Toronto, which is in Canada. And if you haven't been there, definitely visit. It's a bomb city. But yeah, I grew up here, and most of my family is from the US, from Miami. So I've spent some time there too. Just grew up a normal kid, you know what I mean? Got into writing when I was 8. It was an outlet for me because I grew up bullied as a kid really badly. So I felt like I was just always locked in my room, kind of just writing my feelings out, and just like, yeah, that was my way of like healing as a kid, was putting it all on paper. And then, you know, I wouldn't really share it with the world, but I kind of was like, I hope one day that I will be able to share this and somebody will be able to connect with me. And then, yeah, into my later years, I just like, as I got into my adulthood, I was like, this is the time. There's a lot of people out there that are young also, I'm probably going through the same thing or have gone through the same thing. And I kind of want to share my message and help them heal as well too. So I'm just this average guy, this poet from Toronto. And yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
It's interesting how you say like such an early age. For me, I feel like I've always been so very in tune with my emotions and with my like sensitivity. But I don't think at 8 I could really do like tapping into that, like out like as an outlet. Like, I so for you to do it at 8 years old, like how did that even work for you? Like, how would you like, how would you even get into that?
I don't know. Maybe it's the gift from God. I don't even know. Like, I just kind of like was always a sensitive kid. So I was sensitive to my story and what I was going through, but I was also sensitive to the people around me and their stories and what they're going through. So I felt like I was really close to my grandmother growing up, and she would just always be like, right, express yourself. You know what I mean? It's okay to feel this way. It's okay to feel that way. They really installed that into me at a young age. So she just got me into writing too. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I sometimes always think to myself, like, I feel like people really, I guess you could say, like, really take advantage of, like, the whole sensitivity thing. Mm-hmm. Like, they kind of overlook it, like, oh, that's, like, a bad thing. Or, like, it's, like, something that they should be ashamed of.
I don't know
Because I'm not even going to lie. I've been shamed for it often. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I always feel like that's, for me, at least, I think is a very much like a creative incentive, I guess you could say, or like boost, because so much comes from that, like so much, I don't know, like creativity and things like that, like things can come from that.
Right. And that's why it's so important to, like, especially when I have children, I'm definitely going to be in tune with them to let them know it's okay to express how you feel. It's okay to, you know, share your story as well too, because I think that, like, it was hard for me to connect with my parents, like who I was living with at the time. So I didn't get that growing up, but it's great that we should put that message out there for parents that, you know what, always try to stay in tune with your children, because there's a lot going on that you may not even know.
Yeah. And at least, you know, from my experience, like Latino and everything, I feel like in the culture is like, they think, oh, you're just a kid. You can't feel anything like that. Like, you're not an adult. You don't understand. Because I've gotten that when I was younger. It was like, oh, what could you be so upset about? Or what could you be so stressed over? Because, you know, you're just a kid, blah, blah, blah. Like, right. I think at the end of the day, human, as long as you're human, there's things that you can stress about. You know, it be different from someone else, but it's still something. To the point where it makes you feel a certain type of way. Right. So I agree with you where it's like, I feel like kids need that and their parents need to understand that, because, you know, that's just because you're young doesn't mean that you don't feel or you don't have that sensitivity to certain things.
100%.
You're human. So I definitely want people to know a little bit of The Art of Feeling. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So it was my debut book, my debut book. And funny story. So I'm actually not trained at, like, I didn't get trained for poetry. Like, that's not what my passion was. My passion was screenwriting. I love to tell a story.
Wow.
Yeah, I love to tell a story and build on characters, story arcs and so forth. But at the time that I self-published The Art of Feeling, I was going through just a rough patch in my life with different stuff, my relationship, you know, so many different relationships, my relationship with my family, my relationship with my partner, friends. So I had sat down one day with my partner's mom. She was like, hey, you know what? How can you heal? How, you know, why don't you write poetry? So she got me this book of poetry, and I was vibing out to it. And I was like, oh, this is kind of deep. So I'm very lyrical. I love music. So I looked at the poetry book and I was like, can I do this? And I was like, yeah, I can. You know what? I like to write lyrics. So I had drafted a first poem, and it's actually, I think it's a second poem in The Art of Feeling called Honey. And I had given it to my partner's mom, and she was like, this is crazy. You need to write more. And I'm like, you're lying to me. Are you sure? Because I'm not really feeling confident in this. And she's like, no, it's really dope. So what I did was I went and wrote more, and me and her made it like a personal project. And she kind of pushed me to publish the book. She's like, you got to put this out there. It's amazing. And still, I didn't really have the confidence in myself, because I, you know, I was about to throw myself out there into the world, and who knows what kind of response I'm going to get. Right.
Right.
I'm not trying to look like Boo Boo the Fool, but so I drafted that book, and then I self-published it, and I marketed it myself on my Instagram. And yeah, I felt like I had a story to tell. And at the time, it was just about all the different emotions that we feel as humans. Because every emotion is valid. So the whole point of the book was to feel those emotions and go through the roller coaster of these emotions that by the end of the book, you're just like, I kind of understand myself a little bit deeper. Or I understand what I'm going through and somebody else understands what I'm going through. So that is the art of feeling.
Definitely that last part, the understanding how you feel and the understanding how someone else can understand how you feel. I felt that, literally felt that while I was reading the book, because it's like that raw emotion of like when you kind of take a step back and you're like, wow, somebody really, really feels the way I do. Because let's be honest, a lot of times when we go through things, we kind of feel like we're like isolated or we're like in this like corner on our own. So for that reason, I think it's important that people take the time to kind of, you know, if it's like reach out to a friend or, you know, read poetry or something where it's like you don't feel alone, especially in such a hard situation or something that's very life-changing for you.
Right.
And you feel isolated. I think it's always important to find some form of outlet to not feel so alone.
It definitely is. And it's just, honestly, some people don't even know. That's the thing. Some people don't even know, like, what their outlet options are until they kind of try it. So
right.
I think, and that's why even when people contact me about my book and they're like, hey, I'm writing poetry and I don't really know where to go with this, I always kind of try to give them the information on the self-publishing, because there's so many tools at our fingertips that we may not be aware of that we have control to publish our work, right? Without having to go to a huge publishing company or whatever the case may be.
That's actually very beautiful, because let's be honest, there's a lot of people out there who really just, I guess, capitalize on success, and they kind of just leave people behind, and they're just like, oh, well, you figure it out the way I figured it out kind of thing. And I think it's very beautiful to see that, you know, you kind of are totally opposite to that. So
thank you so much. But why not? You know what I mean? Like, the whole point of our journey is to grow and to share, you know what I mean? So why not?
Of course. No, I 100% agree with you. And I think if more people, you know, have your mentality of like, you know, I can do this, so can you, you know, we can definitely change a lot of things when it comes to people really just owning their craft. Because I think a lot of the times people don't own their craft because of the fear of like, I don't know how to do this, or I don't know where to go with this next.
Right.
So, you know, people like you are definitely people that should be appreciated in that sense, because again, it's hard to put yourself out there, especially in such a very, very, very large way. You know, publishing a book and being a public face at that point it's hard.
Yeah, no, it's true. I feel that sometimes. But I think, like, you know, I have my days of doubt. I really do. I put my work out there and I'm like, ooh, where is this going? But I kind of just try to tell myself, you know what, even if I just get one person comments, one person buys a book in a month, I don't really care. As long as it's helping somebody, you got to kind of like,
yeah,
put yourself into a positive mindset that you can't look at the negative of it and be like, you know, it's easy for our feelings or insecurities to take control of us, to be like, oh, this is not going to go nowhere, or you know what I mean? So I just try to stick in that positive mindset of, doesn't matter, you're helping somebody, just put it out there. Some people may not like it, but that one person's gonna love it. So
no, I definitely agree. So here's the thing. So you know how like sometimes people ask like music artists like, oh, what's your favorite song on your new album?
They're just like,
no, I don't know, I like this song. And then my favorite is, a lot of times people are like, okay, so this is my favorite song right now, but like last week it was this song. So like, I'm assuming you're probably the same. So what would be your favorite piece from The Art of Feeling at the moment?
Good question. Okay, let me see. So I definitely feel like it's a toss-up between Because I'm really bad. I don't really have favorites. Like, I just kind of like a
You
bunch of
sound
stuff.
like a music artist.
Yeah, I'm really bad. But I really enjoyed writing United States of the Human Condition.
Oh.
So that would be one of my favorites, just because I wanted to tell a story about, especially the gay community. Not that it's just about the gay community, but that's where my focus was when I was writing it.
Right.
And just kind of like a lot of us experience trying to find love or trying to fill a void when we're young and coming out and going clubbing and meeting new people and being in that world. But we sometimes get mixed up with the wrong people and we give ourselves to the wrong people. And then it becomes sometimes a vicious cycle because,
Right.
yeah, we're in such a time where, everyone just has like connection to everybody and access to everybody, actually. And that's really the problem. And it's just what happened to the old school love. So it's like that's where that poem came from, and saying like, that's what a lot of us are going through or we're going through. But yeah, that poem, and it was a toss up between Honey, just because I feel with that being my first poem, and also like the context of the poem is I think when I finished writing that, I came to a realization that there were things that needed to be fixed within my relationship, and it wasn't just about my partner, it was also about myself. So I think that was a moment for me. So yeah, those two, I'd say.
Would you mind reading a little bit of Honey or?
Let's see. Which one would you prefer? So the first one's a little bit longer, like, or I can do, hold on.
Whatever your heart desires.
Okay. Okay, hold on, let me just find it. Give me one second. Let's do United States of the Human Condition. Okay, so Friday morning, songs about love through my earphones as I commute to work, fantasizing about all love has out there for me. Yearning. Friday night, I put the effort into looking appealing. Bourbon on the rocks, gay bar with the boys. Then there was you. Our eyes meet. You ask me for my number. I don't object. Curiosity. Saturday morning, I wake to your text. Dinner at 5, you ask. I smile as I bite my lip. It's been a while since the sun has felt this warm. Excitement. Saturday night, Middle Eastern food, my favorite. You paid attention. We exchange hilarious stories. You pay the bill and I drive us home. You don't ask to come upstairs, but instead, when will I see you again? I smile. Tomorrow, wanting more but playing it cool. Sunday morning, I wait around all day for your text. 4 in the afternoon, like you forgot the plans. You tell me to be ready by 6. How quickly you're forgiven and how quickly I forget. Tricks of the trade. Sunday night, this time it's seafood, shared memories of your childhood, how you're forever searching for love like me. Those eyes become a trap with no exit. I fall deeper. It's unhealthy, but I don't fight it. I give you my trust. Monday morning, I try my hardest not to text you, but lust takes dominion over everything I tell myself I stand for. I text you. Are you free tonight? Needing. Monday night, your hands caress my thighs as you enter me, breaking down the wall I work so hard to build. I become yours, not knowing that you don't become mine. One-sided. Tuesday morning, one text with empty promises that will hang again sometime soon. Was I wrong for believing in you? Naive. Tuesday night, I try to busy myself with positive thoughts of you and I, but I slip up and reach out for your affection. Let's hang tonight. But you gutted me with your response. Can't, I'm busy. You went for the kill. Wednesday night, I touch myself to the thoughts of you, hoping to remember what it feels like to feel wanted. I lose myself. Thursday morning, I sit staring at my office wall. I spiral into my insecurities. No missed calls. Thursday night, I never go out on weeknights. Tonight's different. Something tells me to go out. I find you at the bar, not as busy as you claimed, but busy enough to occupy your time on the lips of another. You took the warmth of the sun with you. Friday morning, I commute to work, songs about what it could have been. Loneliness. Friday night, I put the effort into looking appealing. Bourbon on the rocks, gay bar with the boys, repeat cycle, the human condition. And that's the end.
Wow. Wow. You know, I would try and snap on here, but like, I don't think it would come out very good. So just, I'm snapping. No, it's all
good. I'm receiving it. Thank you.
All right, guys, we're going to take a little break and we'll be right back. Hey, listeners, it's Jeff. Thank you so much for being a listener, for coming by the podcast. I really just wanted to take this moment to head you over into the direction of my clothing line. I'm so, so proud and so happy that I've been able to start this clothing brand, to start this podcast. I hope to find people wearing clothes that just make them feel comfortable and feel confident in themselves. So visit DefineTheShop.com and find right now your basic t-shirts, your joggers, your long sleeve shirts. And I hope people really enjoy the clothing. And at the end of the day, it's all about just what defines you, you know. Nobody's going to tell you how to dress. You define that. You define what makes you feel comfortable and what makes you feel good. So visit DefineTheShop.com and I hope you guys enjoy. All right. Welcome back, everybody. And we're still here with the amazing Marco.
Hey, thank you.
Okay. So first of all, that whole poem, I felt it because I feel like we definitely are in this sense of like a cycle when it comes to any form of a relationship, may it be romantic or anything in general, because I feel like the way people are coming off nowadays is more so like a self-centered kind of thing, that it's kind of like an oblivious feeling to feel, because right. I feel like people are so like, I guess, into themselves or into like whatever it is that they're doing, that they are not in tune with other people's feelings or right. even with their own.
And that's the thing, everyone's just used to taking,
right?
And we got to remember that we have to give as well too. I'm not saying that you have to give by being, you know, choosing to be in that relationship. Maybe you're not into the person, that's cool, but just keep it 100. Just let the person know, you know what I mean? So, because they're still a person, they're still human, you know what I mean? So they have feelings, and mm-hmm. that's kind of where I was going with that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I 100% agree. And I think in the sense of the name of your book, The Art of Feeling, I think that in the sense of it in the beginning, because I never knew who you were. You were someone mm-hmm. who really just, I think, probably just popped up on my Twitter one time, and I was like, oh. and the name of your book, I was just like, oh, this sounds like really good, because mind you, like I said before, I'm a very sensitive person, mm-hmm. so I'm like, anything that has to do with like, oh shoot, expressing yourself or like understanding yourself, I'm mm-hmm. like, I'm all here for it.
Great, thank you.
So when I read the name of your book, I was like, oh man, this is perfect. So I definitely felt like the name of the book is perfect. So all of you listening out there, open your Amazons and look up The Art of Feeling and get it. And you will not regret it.
And thank you so much for the support, honestly, for everybody. No, yeah. I'm more than grateful.
So now here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Considering that you've done your first book, like I could imagine, just because how I felt like my first like launch of the clothing brand, mm-hmm. like what was that feeling and what did you think the minute that you kind of just hit, like, I don't know if it was a button that you clicked or like a submit or whatever, like how did you feel?
I definitely had a bottle of Henny and was like, ooh, this is going to be real bad. This is going to be good. But I'm just joking. But I went into it with a positive mindset. But you know what? I'm very grateful for my Instagram followers before the book, because a lot of people really were there to support me. And they were like, you know what? I'm going to pre-order and so forth. So I had the pre-order set up, and then I had a good amount of pre-orders that made me feel confident going into launching the actual book. But yeah, you know what? It was a great experience. I didn't feel anything negative about it. But there, to be honest with you, there was a time, because the book's been out for like 3 years now. There was a time when I kind of gave up on myself, as because you know you got to do self-promotion if you're doing self-publishing, right? So I kind of just like fell back and was like, oh, the book will sell for itself. Let me tell you, anybody out there trying to self-publish, that is not how it works. So yeah, I kind of just stepped it up within the year of 2020. I was like, yo, everything's falling, going crazy around me, and the world's crazy. So let me get back into promoting my book. And yeah, that kind of just set it off again. So,
and honestly, I feel like, at least from what I see, I feel more people are so much more receptive to mm-hmm. your book now than when you first launched the book.
Oh, 100%.
Because I feel like you're really giving a sense of the book and the mm-hmm. sense of where you came from when it came to the book. So I think that's something that really has drawn attention, and I think an attention in a very good way, because again, I always tell people this, like, I'm one for, like, if I'm with people and I'm hanging out with someone, I don't like being on my phone. I like tell that to my friends all the time. I'm like, listen, if you're gonna sit here and we're gonna like have dinner or lunch or whatever it is, and you're gonna sit there on your phone, then we might as well just go home and FaceTime.
Right. I'm gonna need some kind of communication.
So my thing is, like, I feel like social media is just not it. But
yeah,
in the sense of like things like, you know, what you do and people who provide a sense of resource, or even the people who send, you know, provide a healthy entertainment. And when I say healthy, like, none of that, like, kind of like bashing people kind of thing, because I don't think mm-hmm. that's entertainment.
Oh, listen, I'm very, you do that on my page and it's over.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think in the sense, I feel like social media is such a platform and such a good resource for that, because mm-hmm. again, that's how I found you, and I think that's how a lot of people find a lot of good things that they don't really just see, you know, when you just go out your door, because you don't have that reach for that, you know.
Right.
But when it comes to social media, it's like you can see things from anywhere, and I think, you know, the more that people use it in that sense, I think it's healthier, you know, because mm-hmm. there's so much that I kind of just feel like people are just so into the social media and their phones all the time, right? That it's like, yeah, be present too, please.
But the crazy thing too, as I was gonna say, as you were saying that, kind of spark in my head, is that, you know what, my book started to really move last year, because I finally found my brand. You know, I started to interact more on my social media. I started to speak to more people. And not that I'm a therapist. I have not been trained to be a therapist. I haven't gone to school for that. I'm always just there to listen and give advice based on what I've gone through in my life, if it relates. But yeah, I've been really connecting with people online and hearing their stories. And, you know, they message me in you know, my DMs, and we just have a conversation. So my brand is now just not about my book. It's about communicating with people on social media, hearing their stories, being there to help them heal. And that's why I feel my book is now pushing, because yeah, I just found my brand. So self-care and wellness.
That's very, very beautiful. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen a show called Younger?
Younger, no.
With Hilary Duff.
I know who she is, but I have not seen that show.
Oh my God. Okay. So the show is actually pretty funny, because mm-hmm. The main character, who's Sutton Foster, and her name is Liza. She's 42, 40 something. She's in her 40s.
Right.
And she's trying to get a job in publishing, but they deny her because of her age. Like, they're looking for younger people to fill the job that she's trying to be, because she wants to be a publisher. So she ends up getting to a specific job interview, and they kind of just go with it thinking that she's 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up getting the job, and she ends up working with Hilary Duff, who is a editor at the publishing company that they're working at. And for some reason, I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm one of those people who has like one of those two like very vast imaginations. I always felt like it would have been so cool to like, because they do like these little like I guess like little like pushes for books. And I always would think to myself, like, oh my God, it would be so like cute if they did like a little like the what is it called? Like a little like a pitch. There you go.
Oh,
They
gotcha,
do like
gotcha.
pitches for books to the publisher. And I always would think to myself, like, the art of feeling, oh my God, imagine they do like a little cameo for that. That would be
Yo,
so
that'd be
cute.
sick.
But of course, everything good they take away. So
Right,
literally they're
right.
in their last season. And in my mind, I always used to think to myself, because they film here in New York. And I always used to think to myself, oh my God, I just want a cameo. I just want to be someone who walks by, even if it's just with a Starbucks in my hand, but just walking by. Like I wanted a cameo so badly because I love that show. And considering that it was a show about like publishing and all that stuff, I always would think about your book because I'm like, oh my God, that would have been so cute. But the reason why I brought it up was because it's interesting to see the because I'm sure that there's got to be some realness to it, considering it's a show and all that stuff. But it's interesting to see like all the little things that go into really establishing a book, because it's not so much about like, okay, this is written, it's done, let's go through it and print it. No, it's like the editor looks at it, and then after the editor looks at it, the publisher wants to make sure that it looks like this, and then there's like pictures and all these things that they want to do, and then it comes with the promotion and then the touring, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah,
Oh,
there's a lot.
wow.
Yeah, there's a lot. And that's the thing about self-publishing, right? You got to be prepared for that. Like, if
To do
you,
all of
yeah,
that.
to all of that. So I work my 9 to 5. I'm just an average guy. I work an office job. I brand manage. And then I put that money that I make into obviously my bills and stuff, but also my business. Like, I come home at night and I'm up. Like, after I eat and shower, I'm busting out like poems and I'm like doing a lot and doing my content and stuff. So yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot in it.
So, like I said, the way that they do it, like in the show, like I think I see that it's a lot. How were you able to kind of manage that alone? Because again, these people are doing it where it's like a whole team. They have a whole team to do all of this. Now it's just you doing it alone. Did you did you have like a map out plan of like, okay, this is how I want it by this point, or like how did you manage?
I think I always have ideas in my head of what I want and how I want it done and also when. But sometimes it doesn't really work like that. Sometimes as you're traveling through the journey of creating the project, it's like things will switch up with you, especially if you don't have a team. So for example, the next book that I'm working on, I had this great idea. I really wanted to launch it on my birthday this year, July, end of July. I'm looking at the time. I'm like, ooh, that was a good thought, but it's not gonna happen. So, you kind of just go with the flow. You still gotta have those plans and set and so forth. You gotta try to execute those deadlines and so forth, but it doesn't always work with like w sorry like that. And that's why publishing companies are very on top of that stuff. But like I was saying, sorry. I just kind of like work through my ideas as I have them set, and I kind of reconstruct them if I find I'm not making it on time because I have more content than I thought, more content I need to work on than I thought I would have, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you because I feel like that's how I feel. I'm a one person brand too when it comes to my clothing brand. And sometimes I'm literally sitting here and I'm like, I don't feel like I'm doing enough. I don't feel like I'm doing enough. But then I think to myself, oh wait, but I'm the only one doing this. So it's like I'm doing far than enough. So it's kind of like you have to talk to yourself through the process of things because then you know that you have a certain deadline, but at the same time, you kind of have to be realistic with yourself to say, I am one person and I do have other things that I have to do. So, no, I get you 100%.
And I mean, you know what, the time will come. Like, my fingers are crossed, because I did receive a blessing by putting my work out there, and I was contacted by somebody in Los Angeles. So I'm hoping that plan falls through, but you just have to kind of just keep working hard and keep yourself focused and hope. You know what? No, I'm gonna put the blessing out there. Good things will come, not hopefully. Sorry, good things will come, and that's the thing. You know what I mean? Like, so you gotta just keep doing what you're doing, and yeah, everything will work out.
I'm gonna say like my best friend Vero says all the time. She's always just like, if you want something, just put it out in the universe.
I truly believe that.
So she always tells me that. There's something I put out in the universe and I still didn't get it, Vero. I'm just putting it out there.
Takes time, takes time.
Give us a little bit of, like insight on your next book if you can.
Yeah, it's exciting. So because I found my brand now, I'm really trying to showcase with a new book the growth in my writing. And yeah, I want to do something different. Like I'm working on some visuals right now, like kind of like what a recording artist would do, like a music video, just not with music, obviously, with the spoken word. So spoken word video, I guess I should say. But just longer poems, more storytelling, visuals that are gonna be linked to those poems that kind of, tell those same stories. But yeah, I got a lot going on. I'm looking right now at this board I got up on my wall. I just have the layout of the chapters and stuff like that. So it's kind of a mess right now because everything's all over the place. But I'm getting it together. And so the title of the second book is actually called Clear.
Oh, nice. I like
Yeah,
that.
it took me a while, but I was trying to figure out how can I, from the artist, because I really like the title, The Art of Feeling. I was like, how can I top that? But I like Clear because I feel like you've gone through the art of feeling. You've felt all those emotions within. Now it's time to clear, to cleanse, to clear, to release.
Oh,
And
that's
that's,
beautiful.
thank you. And that's kind of the second book, the idea. It focuses, I don't really want to focus so much on heartbreak or infidelity. I want to focus on transcending. I want to focus on clearing yourself, being more self-aware, finding more self-worth, inner peace. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on with the second book.
Nice. I like that. Not you trying to give us a Beyonce, though. I heard
Yeah.
you're with the visuals and all that. Okay. He's gonna
Yeah,
drop the book out of nowhere and not tell us.
I know. I kind of wanted to like do something different as a poet, and like I said, I really love sc like screenwriting and telling stories. So I was like, let me. How can I do a 2-for-1 combo? So I kind of want to. I've been writing out the scripts for these visuals, and I've been, for the first one, I can't give too much, but I've. It's about a breakup, even though I didn't want to make that the focus, but that just works for the first one. And it's called Transcend, and it really focuses on just finding love for yourself and leaving a relationship that's not healthy for you. And with the visual, there's a little bit of dance in it. So I've been challenging myself to study dance with a dance teacher,
Nice.
a good friend of mine. He teaches dance. So, oh, I better have my steps down by next week. But I've been for the visual, but I've been like really, really challenging myself lately. So,
That's good. The whole time that you were kind of explaining what the next book is going to be like and what you really wanted to focus on, I couldn't help but to smile because I can definitely say that, since I started following you and started really seeing your journey to where you are now, it's very beautiful to see someone really blossom and bloom into trying to really give themselves this path of building for yourself, and I think that's very beautiful, and I think it's something to
Thank you.
really really admire because again, some people really get to that point and they're just like, I don't want to do anything else or I
Yeah.
can't do this. And I think in the sense of how you're doing it and how you really want to do it, not and I feel it like I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I don't feel like you're doing this just for yourself. I think you're more
Oh,
so
no.
doing
Yeah.
this because you want other people to kind of see that or to relate to you and to
Right.
how you express yourself. I think in that sense makes it so much more beautiful than just you doing it for yourself.
Yeah, I kind of feel like you, yeah, that was right. I just feel like growing up, I spent enough time with myself. So I kind of want to just give back to the world and say, hey, here you guys go. You will get through it. You will. I promise you'll get through it. I've gone through it. And here are maybe some tools that I can provide that may help, you know. So, yeah. That's the mission plan.
No, I definitely, I feel it. And I see it in your content and how you carry yourself as a person. And I think it's, like I said, something very admirable about you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Of course. So here's the thing. With having built yourself, you know, with your first book and you're working on your next book, if you could put yourself in any position at this moment, may it be anything other than just writing, what would you want to do? And it would be anything under the sun. You could be an actor, anything. What would you really, what would you want to be doing besides writing?
What would I want to do? That's a good question. I don't know anything but writing. Okay, hold on. Let me think for a second. Let me think, get my thoughts together. What would I want to do? What would I want to do? I definitely would want to I know what I want to do. I'm really weird. So I like to just vibe out and watch, like, on my downtime, like, animals, like, you know, like insects and animals and stuff on YouTube and Discovery. So I would really like to, like, travel around and just study animals and do, like, videos, educational videos on, like, insects and animals. So see, I'm trying. Yeah, see, there's still writing in that. I can't get away from writing. But yeah, I would definitely do that. That'd be cool to me.
Honestly, not what I expected, but I like it.
I'm weird. Honestly,
totally not what I expected. I was more so thinking that you would say something like maybe like a music producer or something like that. I was not ready for that, or like a film director. I don't know.
Ooh, but maybe that actually too. Yeah, I'd do that.
But I was just like, oh, okay, animals, got it. Okay.
That's my grandmother again. See, she got me into all that at a young age.
That's cute. So speaking of animals, do you have any pets?
Oh, child, I got like three cats.
Oh, three cats.
And okay. They all got crazy personalities.
I always feel like cats are very much like personality strong compared to like dogs, because I feel like most dogs have like similar personalities. I feel like cats are very like strung out with their personalities. It's like you don't know what to expect.
Yeah, they really are. I got like one standoff-ish cat. I got one that's like, I'll be sitting on the couch and he'll like, literally, I'm not even joking, crawl up on me into my arms and wrap himself in my arms like he's a kid. Like, he's so attached to me. It's crazy. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey with my cats.
Yeah, cats are interesting. So I was never a fan of cats until my brother and his girlfriend ended up getting two cats.
Right.
And at first I was just like, and then the cat that they first got, Quinn, I literally would just sit on the couch and he would just like come sit next to me and I'm just like, and he just, all he wanted was to be pet. So I was like, you know what, you're cool. And
then he just wants love.
Yeah, he just wanted love, but he's very much an attention whore. But like he just wanted to be pet, and then after a while, like, he would want to play, and then I was like, you know what, you're cool. So I ended up kind of liking these cats, and I'm just like, you know what, I never thought I would say I like cats, because I was never a cat person, but they were definitely...
Yeah, you gotta just give it a try, you know? You don't get to know until you connect with a cat, trust me.
Yeah, I warmed up to them. So, now that we're getting closer to summer, do you think that you have like a different feeling when it comes to, I guess, expressing yourself like throughout the seasons, or like, cause I don't know, I feel like for myself, like I feel differently now, like when we head into like summer, than I do like in the winter time.
Oh, 100%. It's like your mood will change per season. It doesn't mean it changes that your core as a human, as a human, but just more of your mood. And I feel like I write a lot of my, like, I guess, like, what's it called? Sorry, I just lost the word there. Like, breakup poetry, or, like, more sorrow-like poetry in the winter. Whereas in the summer, mine's more, like, love. I'm vibing out. I'm, you know what I mean? I'm enjoying my time with my friends. I'm in such a great vibe. So I've been trying to blend the two feelings into one, because I do want to, that, because that kind of like hinders me sometimes. Like I can't get my stuff completed, because I'm like, I'm not really feeling that mood, but I'm trying to work on just feeling the moods all at the same time per season.
Literally, that's literally how I feel though. Like in the winter
It's
time, I
hard.
feel like it's like the gloomier stuff, I
Yeah,
guess.
exactly. Gloomy, yeah, that's right.
And then by like the summertime, I'm just like, it's like when I listen to music, like I really
Right.
want to listen to like all the like sad love songs in the wintertime. And then
Right.
when the summer hits, it's like, give me something that's like
I
gonna
want to
make me feel like
move.
I want to go to like a party or something.
Right.
But no, I agree with you. And I think it's interesting, like those are small things that I feel like we don't really notice until like we really think about it. But like it, I feel like it happens. And it's interesting to hear how like you kind of have to like work with that when it comes to like kind of being creative, because it's like you have to go hand in hand with that.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's even like in the summertime, like I'll be ca camping's a huge thing for me. So I
I
love camp.
love camping.
I just got into it a couple of years ago because it was not my thing. I am the city princess. I don't do camping, but but I've learned to love it because my partner. So you know, it's hard when you're out there camping, you're enjoying the great weather and the scenery, and how do you write something so sad or gloomy? So, but it's just training your brain, right? It's you got to remember you're telling a story. It's sometimes not, it's not about what you're feeling in the moment. It could be a past story. So you gotta, that's where the storytelling comes in for me. I try to focus on that sometimes.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. So you're from Canada, and I always tell people this all the time, but I love Canada and I love Canadians, but I've never been.
And I promise you, our heads don't separate like South Park shows. I swear.
Oh my God, I have no idea what that reference is,
You
but
gotta
I
watch
was like, okay.
it.
I was just a little taken back, like what?
No, it's just funny cartoon, and they just always are like dogging Canadians. So we're fun people, I swear it. I swear it.
Yeah, I always tell people that. I'm like, I really want to go to Canada. I love Canada. And they're like, oh, you've been? I'm like, no.
We're like neighbors. You should definitely visit.
I know Canada is not that far from me, so it's on the list of to do.
Awesome.
So, one last thing before we wrap
Sure.
up. Considering the year that we just had, like how do you feel like, or should I say, how did you feel going into like this whole like pandemic thing, and how did you kind of cope with that? And like, where do you see yourself, or how do you see yourself now that it's kind of, I wouldn't say it's over because it's not, but like it's kind of more so subsidizing. I don't know if I said that right. I probably said that wrong, but I think you know what I meant.
Yeah, I do.
And like, yeah, like where's your mindset now? So I asked you so
Yeah.
many questions.
No, you know, I got it. It was, I think for some people it was a loss, and it's, for some people it was a blessing or a combination. For me, it was a combination. You know, I had to really face myself for the first time, like really face myself. And I was like, and see how human I am. And I'm like, oh my God, okay, you definitely got body dysmorphia. Time to work on that. Either you maybe actually, because I'm really like a vibrant person. I'm you will never rarely catch me down or sad. I'm not really like that. I'm very goofy. I'm very, you know, even when I'm having a really bad day, I'm just up. But yeah, I was having some bad days during last year, and I was like, wow, maybe as much as I didn't think I have depression, I think I may actually have depression. So in that sense, I was able to really focus on healing myself and really being like, yo, you're human and there's room to grow. So that's what I was dealing with during last year. But I also had some losses. You know, I watched my grandmother go into long-term care during the height of that, and I was sad to see. You know, I lost a family member to COVID, so that was a loss as well too. And yeah, so I guess for me it was like a combination, a blessing, but there were still some losses. But in the end of it, even though we're still going through what we're going through, because damn Canada, we're still in a lockdown. But I'm just really appreciative because I really found a deeper sense of self in all
Yeah.
of it, and that's the best gift that I could have got out of this whole thing. So I hope I answered every question.
You definitely did.
Okay, awesome.
And it's very interesting that like I like asking that, and I started this podcast, pandemic. So it's nice to ask like the people who come on here, like their version of like how they feel about it. And it's interesting to see that everyone really has pretty much the same answer, and it's like self-realization. And I think subconsciously, this is the reason why I did this podcast also, was because I wanted people to kind of see that, like, or if you're a listener, if you're even someone who's on here as a guest, to kind of really, if you haven't thought about it already, like think about like where you are because of the pandemic, and where you want to go because of the pandemic. Because I think, at least for me, and for a lot of people, I think we kind of had like a moment of like, stop.
Yeah, the world
You can't
paused.
move. Look at what you're doing. Look at where you're going. Look at where you want to be. Are you sure that's what you want?
Exactly.
And kind of like, I guess, do like a rotation once things kind of slowly start moving into a direction. And it's like, wow, like I really did something for myself. At least like thinking in the sense of like purging bad relationships, or starting something that you've always wanted to do but never really got to it, or
Amen to that.
yeah, or going to the point where you're saying, you know what, I've had this job for so long, I don't feel right here. But you never do anything of it, because you're in that routine and you're just going, going, going. Now you have no choice but to look at it and be like, oh, I didn't notice that. Oh, I didn't really see that, because it's in your face now, because you can't really, I guess, associate with it, or engage with it, because it's halted at the moment.
And
So
that,
you,
and sorry.
no.
Sorry, I was just listening to what you're saying. I was saying, you know what? That's the thing. Like, you're right. The world has paused, and unfortunately, we've lost a lot during that period. I say we lost because we are all connected. So, the person who lost their grandmother, or the person who lost their father or their mother, like that's we are also that's our family as well too in a way, right? Because we are all connected. And the thing is, for us who have survived and we're lucky to survive this pandemic, what are you going to do now at your life? This is the pause that you were given. What are you going to
Correct. No,
do?
I
So I
100%
was
agree.
hearing
And
you say
that
that.
I 100% agree. And I think, I had two jobs before this pandemic, and one of them really sucked, like really sucked. And the other one was something that really, it was working in coach, which this is gonna sound very interesting, but I like telling people this. Like, I worked at coach, and I literally learned so much more there than I did in my office job about myself, about what I want, because I've always wanted to help people, but I couldn't do it in the sense of like a guidance counselor or like a psychologist or a therapist, because it's too much. It's too much of an emotional toll for me. Like, I can't do that. So I kind of figured that, like, when people say like retail therapy and they're like, ha ha ha, like it's a joke, but no, it's really a
It's a
thing.
real thing. Yeah, it
Yeah,
is.
it's really a thing, because I literally saw that in people as customers coming into the store. And on my last, maybe like couple of shifts, like maybe last two, I really kind of had like an aha moment where I was just like, this is how I'm helping people. Because customers would leave and they would be like ranting and raving about like how helpful I was and how like I made their day. And I'm like, wow, this is literally helpful.
And
As much as people are like, haha, like retail therapy, I was like, oh wow.
it made you feel good, right? That's kind of like you as a person, like you just want to help. You want to help others, and that gave you that sense of like, yeah, you felt complete.
So like during the pandemic, they kind of just let me go, because I was a part-time person and I had like a specific amount of hours that they just weren't paying anymore. And I kind of took everything that I felt while I would work there, and I was just like, what can I do with this? And it's interesting to think that, like, in the midst of that, I was already in my mind, like, discussing with myself and with friends, I wanted to do a clothing brand. And then this whole kind of thing kind of gave me, like, purpose and reason to start it, because first of all, I had more than enough time to start doing designs and all of that stuff. But it also, it gave me that, like, rewind to come back and be like, wow, I'm going to do this, but this is, like, what I'm seeing is helping people, and that's what I want.
Right.
Like,
good for you.
Right. Yeah. So honestly, it was, it was a big epiphany, like, throughout this whole thing, where I am now, I kind of see, like, doing this podcast and starting the brand that, like, it's therapeutic, and also it's something that I see that, like, maybe I don't have, like, a million people buying my clothes, or maybe I don't have a million listeners, but, like, I know that it's somewhere out there for anyone, you know.
Exactly. And you know what, I put that blessing in the atmosphere right now, plant that seed, you will.
Thank you. You will. So, you know, it's interesting to see, like, and I again love to have people like you on this podcast, because it's not so much for me, it's for you guys, it's for the people who listen, it's for the guest, to always think to yourself, no matter what you're doing, if you're doing something that's your passion and it's something that you want to flourish with and it's something that you want to share with the world, I'm someone who sees, like you're doing this for good,
right?
Do it. Like, just put yourself out there, push yourself to that extended limit to just go and go far and beyond.
And there's so much riches in that, you know what I mean? And you will feel so satisfied with yourself and so complete once you do it. It's just the fear of the unknown. But if you could just push past that and just chase what you love, I promise you the soul feels fulfilled.
Oh no, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to wrap this up. But is there anything that you want to tell us?
I think if there was anything that I guess I'll say this, and I always try to close out with stuff like this, is that we kind of touched on it, but you know what? No matter what you're going through in life, and this is for the listeners, like, no matter what you're going through in life, you know what I mean? It's valid. And you don't got to justify yourself to nobody, but just know that, you know, the days that you're struggling, they will pass. I could promise you that they'll pass. And you just got to hold on to yourself, keep your heart strong, keep your head up. And know that you will get past it. And once you do, there's, like I said before, so many riches in it. There's so many, your soul will feel complete. So just hang on there. You're not the only one going through what you're going through. We are there with you. And yeah, that's what I would say.
I like that. That's beautiful. That's perfect, actually, because I think, like people say all the time, like, it's a sense of feeling. It's a sense of feeling seen, you know. And like you said, no matter how you feel, it's valid.
100%.
So, thank you. Where can everybody find you?
As mentioned, my book is on Amazon. The Art of Feeling.
Buy it. Everybody buy it.
Yes, please buy it. But also, I'm on Twitter and Instagram, same handle. So it's Marco Da Costa _. And then you can find me there. I'm trying to always post motivational stuff, and hope to see you guys around.
Yes, and thank you so much for doing this.
No, I appreciate you.
And you know, my season return to the podcast, and I think it's such an honor to have you as a guest, and keep doing beautiful things. Your art is amazing.
Thank you.
You're amazing, and I think that I think that your next book is going to do just as good as your first, and it's just going to keep getting better, and you're going places, and I can't wait to see the places that you're going to go.
I receive all of that. Thank you so much. I'm sending you back the same blessings with everything that you're doing.
And I'm not going to lie, I'm still a little disappointed about the first book tour that I never got to meet you. it made me so sad, but it's okay.
I'm coming. I know I got a lot of New Yorkers that are very upset, but it's, you know, this time around, I'll have a better idea of what I'm doing. So it'll work out. I will see you guys soon, everyone in New York.
Yes. And again, thank you so much for being here. It's it was
Thank you.
amazing.
Thank you for
And
having me.
you're always welcome back here at Define Dream. So
All right, take care, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for joining me on this episode. I hope you really enjoyed Marco. It was really great talking to him, and I really hope to have him on the podcast very soon. And thank you all so much for listening, and it really means a lot to me. Check out the collections. I have quite a few now, and yeah, so defintheshop.com, and yeah, I'll be back with another episode very soon, and thank you so much.